Amen. Let us go before the Lord. Father, we thank you for your kindness. You've been so gracious unto us. Lord, those who have had, who raised their hands for prayer, God, you know their needs. You know their hurt, their pain, all the things that are happening in our lives. Lord, we ask that you touch right now. Your presence will be made known. Midst of whatever circumstances they're experiencing. We praise you and we thank you. We ask God now that you bless us in the time of your word. Bless us as we enter into your presence, speak of your kindness, share the scripture. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Hi. How y'all doing? Morning.
Morning.
Now, you guys know, if you make me work hard, I'm going to have to preach really long. So, good morning. All right. The Lord has been so gracious. I want to thank Pastor Ian for allowing me to come before you. It is so kind to do so. I truly appreciate it. Also, Brother Lee for bringing this pulpit up here. I'm sorry, I'm old-fashioned. I got to have a podium. I got to have a podium to point my finger from, right? Amen. So just briefly, if we go to, we're going to be coming from the book of Hebrews, and I will be in the 12th chapter. I'm going to be reading from the first and second verse. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with patience or endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy..." All right. Yeah. "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." And I want to focus our attention on who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Amen. We know that the crucifixion was brutal, horrifying, a horrible example of torture. But not only the crucifixion, the events leading to that crucifixion, being beaten, having his beard pulled from his face, being whipped with a whip that pulled skin from his body, and then being nailed to a cross. Now, when I was a kid, I thought being nailed to the cross, you got some nails from Home Depot, them little skinny, tiny nails that you nailed 2x4s with. And I thought that was the kind of nail that he was hung with. Then I actually seen the type of nails in those days, which was basically a small dagger, piercing through the skin and then hanging for estimated 6 hours. But the scripture says that the joy set, he endured that. And what is that joy? That joy was you, me, man. He saw that during that time that if I endure this, this will give mankind access to God. Amen? Enduring this would free man from sin. Amen? So he took that pain and he took that suffering. He endured it because he thought of you. Amen? And he thought of me. Now, the question I have for us this morning is, what is his return on investment? What is his return on investment? How'd you turn out? Oh, it's got a little quiet. Amen. You know, I wonder, do we live Christian life to the fullest of our ability that's within us? Amen. Do we give of our heart 100%? Do we live a holy life as best we know how? Amen. How are you dealing with your compulsions? Oh, yeah, we're going to. It's been a while. Amen. But we're going to get through it. How are you dealing with things that you struggle with that would be opposite from living a holy life? How are we dealing with temptation? How are we dealing with lust in our hearts? How are we dealing with being provoked? How are we dealing with being easily triggered? Are we coming to Antioch Wesleyan because easy to look like a Christian in the midst of the Christians? One preacher said, all the bishops look like bishops meeting the bishops. Amen. Amen. And so, what is the return on investment? You know, I had a friend of mine who, I wasn't saved, the both of us weren't living any kind of Christian life, and he had gotten saved, came and asked me Christianity. He worked really hard at it. I was pretty tough. He didn't stop. He kept pushing, coming over. Paul to say he was on his way. Roll my eyes. Here he come. Jesus stopped. And when I stopped answering the phone, he just showed up. Sometime I'll let him in, and sometime I'll go somewhere and let him sit there. I'll go somewhere else. Because we were, you know, good friends, and that's how you treat good friends. I was resisting until one day the Spirit of the Lord was on me so hard that I gave in. I came calling him. And I sat there, and I confessed my sin to the Lord. I still remember the day, November the 15th. That's Jesus. What began to happen is he began to disciple me. You know what that means? He sat with me, explained the scriptures to me, prayed with me, and I had questions. He would be right there, and then on Sunday school, he came and he picked me up, amen, and then he dropped me off, and then on Bible class, he called me and said, He didn't say, are you coming to Bible class? He said, I'm on my way to pick you up for Bible class. Amen. And I guess I'm going to Bible class. And so he kept at it until Jesus' hooks was in me. Y'all all right? Amen. Until I didn't need no one to tell me to go to Bible class. I'm just going to Bible class. Man. You know, it came to a point where he said, okay, I'm gonna pick you up. Not you don't have to pick me up. I got my own car. I'll be there. Amen. And he worked with me. And as we were best friends as teenagers, and so we still stay best friends. And so there are certain times in life, you know, things happen, and he and his family had to come live with me in my house. And I was married, and I had a one bedroom, so it was just eight of us in that one bedroom, four adults and four kids. And that's the way we lived. And times got hard for me, and I came and lived in his house, and he lived in a basement of a house. And so me and my wife and my kid, and we lived with them for a while. We were so close that, you know, living together that one day I put my ring on, my wedding band on, and went to work and came back, and I noticed my wedding band looked different. And I said, this your wedding band? And he said, and then he looked at his hand and said, I think I got your wedding band on. I mean, we were close. And then when things separate, when we finally got our act together and got good jobs and all that, and our wives liked Lord's ice cream. And so my wife sent me out to Lord's ice cream. And so I'm heading down there, drove and hop out the car, and here he is driving up. I said, what you doing here? He said, my wife sent me to Lord's ice cream. And we both at the same time was getting Lord's ice cream. And once we liked Ming's Diners, a Chinese food restaurant in Berkeley. And I drove up and without even talking to him, you know, a whole month. And next thing you know, he's driving up. Me and my kids are there, and he and his kids are there. Like, what are you doing? We felt like Ming's. And I said, well, we felt like Ming's. We just had the greatest time coming to. We were like twins. Amen. We were like twins. We would study the scriptures together. And at one point, you know, I bought my house here in Antioch. And then he bought his house here. We just had the grandest of time. Never told me pulsions inside. He never told me about his temptations that he battled. I never found out until he got a divorce. And his wife told me, yeah, he got problems. Never knew he had. Be married. Second divorce. Now today, his best friend is a prostitute. Downtown Oakland. Never knew struggle someone has. Been homeless. Real homeless. Living in a car. On his way to sleep on the ground. That I was going to Fremont. Lay my head on the concrete, ask this facility. What happened? That's why I'm careful on how I treat people when they struggle, because we are one temptation away from falling. Amen. I never knew. You never know We all look pretty good in here today, but I don't know what's going on in your mind. I don't know the temptations that you really fight. I don't know what triggers you, and you don't know what triggers me, but we all have a breaking point. Amen? That's why Jesus, in his word, amen, when the writer of Hebrews is talking, he says, lay aside every weight, amen, so that when you run, amen, you can run. But when you are bogged down with lust of adultery and lust of alcohol and drugs and wanting to go back and smoke weed again and wanting to go back and do the things that you used to do. If you knew how to, we used to say, oh, he knew how to throw these dogs. You know, that means you knew how to do it. He's telling me how he used to get down. I used to watch him fight when we was kids. He really knew how to throw them. Not today. He was throwing them and got rocked. Amen. You can't do it like you used to. You ain't the same. You're not the same person. You can't crave who you used to be. We are a little older. Amen. That's why when conflict come around, I say, hey, I don't want no trouble, man. I'm good. Now, hey, 20, 30 years ago, you would have had, you know, a handful. But right now, I want to go home and watch Law and Order, eat a bowl of cereal. That's what I want to do. We don't know. We don't know. That's why we got to be delicate, even with saints. Amen? Because the pain that people feel is real. Lay aside every weight. Lay aside that thing. And you know, the when it's time for me to prep for preaching, I have the weirdest dreams. I have the weirdest temptations, things that I haven't thought about, and people who I haven't thought about. All of a sudden, all these imaginations come into my head, and I say, listen, look here, Jesus, we not doing this. Mm-mm. I'm not letting stupid stuff reside in my head and just sit there without any resistance. Amen, because that's how you... It becomes comfortable, right? It becomes comfortable. You can do some crazy things if you allow it to just sit in your head. Lay aside, put away things that are comfortable to you. But God says, that's not what I have for you. Can't do it. We have to get rid of things that are not like Christ. Because I want to be a good return on investment. He died. He was tortured. So that I can be sin-free without guilt. Amen. Without penalty. I at least want to be a good soldier. I'm just not going to live this life haphazardly and just do whatever I want to do and then still call myself a Christian. Amen. I do my best. I fight hard as I can not to allow sin, imaginations, foolishness, anger. I can be angry. I know how to be angry. Amen. I'm gifted at being angry. I know how to let you know what time it is. I can tell you how you messed up and why we're not talking and why I don't mess with you. Amen. I'm good at it. That's not my calling. I was a top performer in sales for an ISP. I was doing fairly well, and I started feeling sick. My bones started hurting in my legs. It just got worse as time went on. My performance, my mental was not there. my performance. So I went to the doctor, and they said, okay, you're in trouble. You're in trouble with this leukemia stuff. I had to deal with that. But my boss, he didn't understand it. He just thought I was lazy. He just thought I didn't feel like working. I'm trying to tell you. It's not that I don't feel like working, man. I'm, you know, taking chemo for the first time. It's I'm going through some stuff. And he said, you look fine. There's nothing wrong with you. And I said, I know I look fine, but I'm telling you, I'm struggling. He didn't get it. So you know what he did? He fired me. Fired me. Oh, I was so hurt. How can you fire me? Top performer. I just had a couple of bad months. I was in the hospital. You know what? I was in the hospital closing deals. Believe it or not, I had two IVs in my arm. And still saying, if you can just fax it to this number here, I was still working. Just wasn't working good as I normally did. I was bitter. I love that job. I love the place. I learned it. I can't explain to you how that we used to call it, the company's called Cogent. I used to bleed Cogent Blue. And I love that place. And he took it away from me. He took that joy, that being number one, being a top performer, he took it. And I was mad. I was bitter. I was hurt. Not too long after that, he was diagnosed. And I said, see, God don't like ugly. God don't like uglying it up. God don't like ugly. God don't like ugly. And I was, God gave me this dream. The same man went to God. In the dream I had, this man went to God, cried, said, I'm sorry for firing Troy. Yeah. That's what he said. He said, I'm sorry for firing Troy. And he cried. And he cried hard. He cried hard. And I saw God wipe away his tears, drew them tears up. And that man was put a smile on his face. And God forgave him in my dream. God forgave him and sent that man walking free. He had no problems. When I woke up from that dream, I was like, look at here, God. I said, look here, Jesus. We don't like him. I don't know what you're doing. We don't like him. And God was like, That's not we. He asked for forgiveness, and I gave it to him. Sometimes, see, this is the beauty of the atonement. The atoning sacrifice is Jesus forgives you of your sins and then takes the penalty away from you, and he steps in and he takes that penalty. That's the atoning sacrifice. And sometimes God will forgive somebody else, even if they do something to you. He still forgives them, even if they do something to you. And he steps in and say, can't deal with them anymore. You got to deal with me. Get what all that energy you got for them, bring it. Bring it to me. Amen. Y'all all right? Amen. He is still the atoning sacrifice. He atones sacrifice for you. He atones sacrifice for other folk. even if it's against you. He still cleanses from sin. Amen. He still wipes sin away. Even if you and Jesus thought you were in agreement that y'all don't like him or her, Jesus is like, no, that's not how this works. That's why forgiveness, if Jesus forgives you, you got to forgive others. Uh-huh. And that's why I say, listen, we have to be careful how we deal with people, how angry we get at folk who do us wrong. We have to learn how to forgive and be free. Listen, I'm mad at so many people. I'm mad at some Baptists and some preachers. I'm mad at some Wesleyans. I'm mad at some professors. I'm mad, and every time I get mad, after a while, when I cool off, I give them a call and go, hey, how you doing? As if nothing ever happened. I am provoked by the kindness of God to love. Provoked to love. How you doing? Where you been? As if they avoid me. Where you been? Amen. Where? How you doing? Where you been? What you up to? Why? I want to be right with God. Lay aside every weight that's going to hinder me when I'm running this race. Y'all right? Y'all with me? Listen, there are some things that you're going to come up against that's going to be hard for you to deal with. There's going to be some anger issues. There's going to be some vengeance issues. There's going to be some temptations that you feel. There's going to be some roadblocks. There's going to be times when you think God should be on your side, and it feels like he's not. But you got to keep running this race and lay aside the weight that's going to hinder you. Give it up. That pain, give it up. That vengeance you feel, that forgive them and keep going. You got to keep running this race, because in the end, a soul is going to depend on you when they need help. Amen? That's why there's going to come a time when someone needs help and they're going through some things, and they're going to come to you and they're going to go, see, you don't understand the pain I'm feeling. And you're going to say, yes, I do. I get it. There was a young lady who I preached and I end up praying for. And later that night, she knew my wife, and she called our house. And I'm just about finished. She called my house and talked to my wife. She said, let me speak to Elder Logan. But, you know, I got on the phone. My wife was on the phone, and she was on the phone. She said, thank you for praying for me. And she said, Elder, see, thank you for praying for us. You don't know what it's like to use cocaine and to use rock it up and smoke it and do all this kind of stuff. And I said, and my wife said, yes, he do. He don't talk about it, but yes, he do. He know all about it. I was just trying to, you know, nobody know, right? So sometimes people think that you don't know the struggles that people go through, and God is going to put you in a position and talk to people, and then you're going to be able to say, yeah, I do know that pain. And let me tell you, you can make it. You can survive it. You can conquer it. Why? Because I did, through the power of God. Amen. I did. You know, there's nothing you can't accomplish when you give your heart to God 100%. There's nothing you can't face once you give your heart to God. There's nothing you can't overcome when you give your heart to God. It's surrendering to the temptation that destroys you. Like it destroyed my friend. He used to be a pastor. He got so much God in him, he still talked like a preacher. Still smoke weed. Still go out and have sex with God knows what. Still do ungodly things. Talking like a preacher. Can't help it. It's two worlds. That's not a good return on investment. That's not a good return on investment. Be a good return on investment. He died. Crown of thorns on his head. Beard plucked from his face. Whipped. Tortured. Spear in the side. Nailed, not with Home Depot nails, real hardcore nails. And for the joy set before him, you having access to God, he did it. He did it. So that you can have a relationship with God Almighty. That's why he did it. So be a good return on investment. Be the Christ-like person. Amen? Be the Christ person. Allow the power of God to live and walk in you and tell that devil you can't have it. I know I like chocolate chip cookies. I know it. It's a fear I have. It calls me. It beckons me. It's I deserve it. I deserve chocolate chip cookies. I worked hard. And I deserve it. I gotta lay aside every weight. Bye bye, chocolate chip cookies. Now I walk by chocolate chip cookies and barely notice. I notice, but barely. I remember when. Oh, I remember when. But no, give it up. Amen. I got ingredients at home right now. I got the chocolate chips. I got the expensive chocolate chips. The real ones. The semi-sweet. I got the butter. I got the vanilla, I got the flour, I got all the ingredients to make. I was ready to make them homemade chocolate chip cookies. And when I got everything together, I said, but every time I open that cabinet, there it is going, hey, ready for you when you are ready. No, won't do it. Amen. Lay aside every weight. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Pastor, what pastor? Oh, there you go. Amen.
Amen. We're just going to invite up the worship team really quick. And thanks again, Pastor Troy, for giving us the word today. It was great to hear from you, great to see you. And yeah, I just want to pray really quick before we get into worship and just thank God once again. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you're doing. As Pastor Troy said, we want to be a good return on investment. I pray right now that we would be in a position in our life, in our hearts, to see what's going on. Is there anything in our life that we need to give to you, that we need to walk away from, actions that we need to stop and say, Lord, we give this to you. Lord, we give this to you because you take that burden from us. And we thank you for that. And this morning, Lord, I pray that as we go out, as the worship team finishes our service, that we would decide today to be good on that return on investment for you. Because you deserve it. You deserve all of us. You deserve every ounce of our soul to glorify you and to represent you to the world around us. In your name we pray. Amen.